Good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing?
All right, good morning.
Doing well.
I
Good.
don't actually know how many people, if I could go to the agenda. Krista, Jeff, Jake. I didn't see Tanisha. We're going to wait a couple more minutes for a few more folks to show up. That's okay with everybody, and then we'll get started. Okay, according to Renee, we have quorum. We should have a few more people, and hopefully they will join us. So we'll go ahead and call the meeting, and we'll do intros. So I'll just, Jake, I'm going to throw it to you because you're first, and then if you can just pick somebody, and we'll cycle through everybody.
Perfect. So good morning, everyone. Jake Kavari, Vice President of Planning Development at Reno Valley College, and I will pass it over to Misty.
Oh, good one. You got me. Good morning, everybody. My name is Misty Griffin. I'm the Director of Business Services here at the district office, and I choose Dr. Mustaine.
Good morning, everyone. Deborah Mustaine, Dean of Community Partnerships and Workforce Development at the district office. I choose Jeff Kotz.
Thanks, Deb. Jeff Kotz, Executive Director for the RCCD Foundation. Nice to see everyone. How about Chris?
Good morning, all. Thanks, Jeff. My name is Chris Clark. I'm the Executive Director of External Relations and Strategic Communications for the district.
First one off mic, so I'm going to pick Tracy because she's the next picture I saw.
Apologies. Thank you. Hi, Tracy Fisher, Director, Center for Social Justice and Civil Liberties.
Karina?
Karina Gelati, Director of Grants here at Norco College. And my camera is so dark.
Yeah, you got you need a
I
light.
know. Let me figure it out.
Marie. Where did Marie go?
Looks like her mic's not picking
I
up.
can't hit.
Yeah.
Well, I see you. Let's jump to Alice and we'll come back to Marie.
Alice Musumba, Director of Grants at Moreno Valley College.
And is it Aaron?
Hello, Aaron Agermon, Adjunct Faculty, Riverside Campus.
And Lori? You're on mute.
You are correct. I was on mute. Lori McQuay, Grants, sponsored programs at the district.
And Marie, let's try again. Well, we know Marie is here. So, Tanisha.
I'm present.
That's it. BP at Norco College.
Okay, hi,
Good
Vice
morning.
President Norfolk College. Good morning, everyone.
And Chrissy Woods.
Good morning, everyone.
Thank you. And Marie, we're going to try one more time. Because I see you've got a new phone. She's trying. She's having audio problems.
Thank you, Rebecca. I was trying very hard. Marie Thermidor, I'm part of the RCCD Foundation team, development officer.
Thank you. Good morning to everybody. I appreciate everybody jumping on. Within the appointment, you have the agenda for the meeting. And I'm sorry, Renee, if you want to say anything, I've skipped you. My apologies.
Good morning, everybody. I hope you guys had a good Thanksgiving.
Within the agenda, because she's pretty good at all this stuff, attached you will find links to basically all the things that we're going to have a conversation about. The first item is the minutes from the last meeting that I do want to have an approval for, and then I'd like to have a quick conversation because there were a couple of action items that I want to follow up from that last meeting. So if everybody could take a look at those minutes if you have not already, and if I could get a motion in a second.
Motion to approve.
Thank you.
Second the motion.
Thank you. I guess anybody who wants to abstain or wants to vote no, and then we will take them by consensus if that works with the collective. Okay, cool. One of the items in that was language for civic engagement, which we'll come back to. And in that, when we get to that section, and both Tracy and Chris are here, and we can talk about that. But also within the last meeting, there was a conversation about the Apprenticeship Operation Task Force. And I want to posit to this group and then request that we talk either. That I go back to the governance committee. I don't believe that that task force should be sitting here within advancement. I see the partnerships piece, but the apprenticeship work is very much tied to the colleges. I understand and appreciate that a piece of it would go through teaching and learning, the curricular piece. So I wanted to just frankly have a conversation with the college folks of where do you think this should land? Do you think it should land here? Because as the workforce and economic development world focuses not on anything in the curricular space, and the apprenticeship world is primarily in the curriculum space, there's less and less in the workforce and economic development. So coming up through advancement and partnerships. So I wanted to hear from the folks at the colleges and see what your thoughts were, and then. If there's no specific place within existing DSPC committees to make a recommendation on where this goes, I can just go back to governance if that's the consensus of the group. Because I don't know that this subcommittee should be under this purview. So I'll kind of open it up for conversation. And the charge is on the front of the agenda in case there's questions about it was it's there as a reference tool. Anybody, please feel free to jump in.
I agree, DC Goldberg. I think that it would make more sense to either have it be sitting under teaching and learning or to take it back to the overall governance committee. It is largely like faculty academic work, so.
Quite other questions? Thank you, Tanisha.
Plus one. Well, just concur. I'm like, nothing to add.
Fair. Do you see this as being a potential subcommittee under teaching and learning? Because the curriculum piece will still have to run regardless. But I do agree with the overall structure, and this was charged from Dr. Isak. I do agree with the overall structure that all three colleges are going to be working in an apprenticeship world, and separate from the curriculum path to drive that through, there needs to be some working body to make a agreement on, yes, these are programs that we want to do or not, and then how those partnerships are developed. Because the curriculum piece again will siphon off and then come back. Do you see it as being a separate? Because I would like to make a recommendation either to governance or to teaching and learning that it fill in or be a subset within teaching and learning, or go back to governance and say, we don't know, and here's where it should go. Because teaching and learning already has 1, 2, 3, 4, five, I think, curriculums underneath it. Curriculum, professional growth, distance ed, non-credit, and guided pathways.
I mean, I guess in this moment of just thinking out loud, so there, most of our work requires us to coordinate across our campuses, but not every work requires like a formal committee to do that work, because typically committees are overseeing like the strategic procedures or processes or guidelines around the work. So if it's just the operational work of like regional and like that alignment piece of the region for apprenticeship, then I guess my question would be, does it need a committee?
Fair, fair. It was a task, so we created said task force to check the box. But I don't you from a charge purpose perspective, I don't know that there's disagreement. But on apprenticeship, there probably should be. And if it's teaching and learning, fine. But there's no cohesive platform, and I don't know that there's supposed to be. So that begs the question. Okay, unless there's other questions or comments, my recommendation, I'll go back to, I don't know who the chair of teaching and learning is. I guess that would be Star now. I don't know. I'll figure it out and look at asking them to take this. And I don't believe that there's any further action for us to do on the apprenticeship task force. Are there any other questions or comments on previous agenda minutes or any notes that were in there? Okay. The Alternative Resources Committee just met, I think, for the first time not that long ago. Deb or Lori, I don't know if either one of you want to jump in. Right now, that committee is not fully staffed, but again, I take tasks that were handed to me, and as soon as there was one faculty member, I was told to move forward. So we moved forward. We met with that group, and for the most part, it was a management meeting for me and my team. So we talked about some alternative resources and really spent a couple of minutes talking about what's happening at the federal government level. So Lori, I don't know if you want to chime in just to share with the group so that there's some context, but there's not a huge amount of depth that's yet happened on that subcommittee.
You mean the crazy federal government we're all dealing with that sends out a really wonderful grant opportunity with 15 days notice between the time that it was, released and the time that it's supposed to be received and then awarded?
Well,
No,
they just got a budget.
the federal government continues to.
Challenge us.
Yes, but good news at the state, right? If I don't know if we want to talk about those other funds.
I mean, they're happening. We were going to have to figure them out. So, yes, please go ahead.
So the state has offered some money to support positions that may have lost funding due to the federal grant terminations, cancellations, discontinuations, whichever word you want to use there. And so that's a good thing that will allow us to continue some of the work at the federal level, or some of the work that was supposed to be funded by the federal government. Let me rephrase that. That's actually pretty exciting that the state will do that. So it probably won't fill in all of like so we lost what $5.5 million or so in a week in September. I don't think I know the total allocation. I'm sure there are
I
others
don't.
that too, but it the state money, what is it called, student success? I was just looking at that. Do you can help with some of those positions and may even allow us to continue such projects like NORCL, your Title V grant, actually MVCs as well, and maybe even finish that project that was at RCC, the one that Luis Molina was leading. So I don't know.
So is this the block grant that you're referring to?
Yes.
The block grant funding? Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
So to that end, we have been asked as of this morning, and it's really a college request, which is what I think what the impact will be. I don't, we know somewhat of who's being funded, but who is being funded and who is at jeopardy with potential loss from each of your campuses. We'll be doing the same thing for the district office grants. But that is the new request that I saw this morning that I will be going up to the CCO's office. I don't know how much money is available on the table right now. I believe they set aside like 60 million for the state, though. So if there are questions, I'll do my best to answer them. I would say actively talk with your grants people who are on the phone call, and then obviously with your business office. Anything else, Lori?
No, I don't think so. Not from that committee.
Jeff, you want to talk briefly about the 50th?
Sure. We had a well, this is Foundation's 50th anniversary, so we're enjoying that to a certain extent this year. We had a kickoff celebration mixer in October here at the Alumni House, and we're branding we have a new logo for this year that we're using on all our mailings. Our annual appeal goes out and has that on it as well. And we're particularly looking for additional resources for student emergency needs through that fund. We will be doing one or two more mixers this year with a similar approach to try to bring in new friends to the foundation that would eventually support the district and the college programs. Looking forward to that. We're also running a series of donor lunches that will be either here at the foundation or somewhere in town that would pair a donor, like someone who's endowed a fund to support students, and we'll have the student recipients of that fund meet with the donors. It's kind of a small, intimate setting that will go on. I know Maria is working on one of those right now. So that's kind of a quick overview.
There's a lot of activities I know happening in and around the colleges with Norco Marina Valley. Marina Valley is going to do start at 35th next year. So I know there's things happening wrapped in with what the foundation's doing. So if there are any questions or concerns, Jeff is a good resource to start with. And then obviously on the grant side, separately with your grant directors and then with Lori. Any questions on alternative resources, generally where we're going? Okay. Civic engagement. Tracy, do you want to chat a little bit about that? And then Chris, if we could talk about the language for the committee.
Sure. So I think there are a few things to note from the Civic Engagement Committee meeting. And one is that next year is an election year. So, kind of thinking about the ways in which the colleges can engage students. The colleges have things like voter registration drives and what have you, but were there other are there other areas in which the students can be engaged. Another thing that I think was discussed was in reference to the changes that are happening kind of nationwide with the executive orders and how that might impact our students or the ways in which they do impact our students. And so I think there was kind of robust communication around conversation around having communication at the colleges where the students, and everyone for that matter, but really thinking about the students, are more aware of the bills and the information because it seems to be coming at such a fast, kind of rapid rate. Are there ways in which the committee can better communicate the changes in the bills to the students, right? And that was just in terms of like distributing information. Would it happen through government relations in the context of the government relations, the newsletter that goes out? That seems like a really good spot or place for that information to come through. There was also a question that maybe, actually, maybe Rebecca, this folks on this committee might know. The question was whether or not if there was a counterpart at the colleges for the Civic Engagement Committee. And that was something that we didn't know in that meeting. So I don't know if anyone on this call has that information. Feel free to chime in there. But I think that's one of the things we were thinking about in terms of, like, is there a counterpart, and how, if so, if there's a counterpart at the colleges, if so, perhaps the college committees can also work with civic engagement, right, to kind of better bridge the gap there. And then one more thing I think that's just important to note is really thinking about local electeds and their visits to campus, to the various colleges, rather. And so making a distinction between someone's kind of real protocol around inviting electeds to camp to the colleges versus one's personal political commitments, personal invitations or what have you, just kind of trying to make a distinction there, right, in terms of having a local elected come to one of the colleges as a part of the college student experience versus a personal one's personal political affiliations or what have you. And I think that's it, just some highlights.
Any questions, comments? Do the VPs that are on, or frankly, anybody, do the colleges have, as Tracy was talking about, like a civic engagement committee, or is it kind of impromptu if needed? Which probably means it's not necessary, because otherwise you would have something in standing. Elena, do you have something? Yeah,
I
go
was trying
ahead.
to make the raise hand go, but I
Sure,
couldn't make
sure.
it happen. I think that it's really important that we do distinguish between electeds coming on campus and allowing them a free space for campaigning. And what the rule is usually is like 6 months right before the election. That's kind of where you want to like put it. Because then if we do have an open space for somebody that happens to be running, we would have to provide their competition the same spaces. So I think it's just like marking it at the 6 month is where we need to like stop or really consider that it's an open invitation for all running for like, our trustee or assembly, whatever. But 6 months is usually the where it needs to be across the board.
Okay, go ahead, Christy.
I was just going to say, can you clarify 6 months needs to be where it's across the board? Because 6 months before the November election is
The
marked.
fourth
So are you saying that
is
there should
2 hours
be no
for
elected
the World Language
before?
Department
No,
meeting, and the
it's
last
just
hour is for the
April,
public.
but
And I told them we
I
only need
think
one.
it might, it's either 6 months or 90 days, but there is like a
Sounds
real,
like 90
I
days
think it's
might
90
make more
days. I
sense.
just checked. Yeah, it's 90 days. I just looked at my thing. It's 90 days. And then after, be in those 90 days, they would need to say that it was an event that they went to, and we would have to open it up for everybody in the same. So like if somebody was running for assembly and we invited them on campus, we'd have to invite the other people running for assembly and ha give them the same space and audience.
At the same time, or just you
No.
extend an invitation to all candidates
Yeah. And it
if
just
you
has to be
invite.
an invitation.
And so to Elena's point, there's multiple pieces here. One is the communication piece out to students, right? And letting them know voting, it's part of what we do, like build it in. So there's that whole piece. Then there's the piece where we invite people either into classrooms or whatever it is, whether it's campaign season or not. And part of that is when you are doing that, regardless of who the you is, and you are doing it under the disposition of an RCCD hat in whatever form it comes in, we need to know, right? We need to know that Tracy has invited Mark Takano to come to the center, just so we know what's going on. We're not trying to invade Tracy's space, right? but it's a traffic control thing to make sure that if Mark's going to be in the area, that maybe we can fill out more time or not, or maybe it's only for that visit. So then there can be some more follow-up. Then there's the space. And then that includes classrooms, right? If you are inviting faculty member to come in to your classroom and speak, great. I don't necessarily care, but we would like to be informed so that if we go see that person in a week, we can be like, hey, thanks for coming to campus and talking to blah de blah's class. What did you think? Is this something you'd like to have more of, right? So those conversations can be had and there can be more of a thoughtful follow-up. Then there's the piece where these people just show up because they do. Some of them have been involved with these campuses for a very long time. And, you know, if Jose's downtown as a supervisor now and just feels the need to stroll on over, he's gonna, and we're not gonna know. He might roll into Tracy's shop on a Thursday and we won't know, right? Unless they have a conversation. And those are totally fine. Finding out after the fact, still helpful. And then there's the place that Elena's talking about as we run into campaign season where people want to use the space. That is a facilities issue. Y'all, specifically Janelle, knows it across the board. I'm very confident that Trey over at Norco knows it. I don't know about Ron's involvement, Moreno Valley, in terms of utilizing space, but I know those three humans talk to each other on the regular. And if we do have electeds coming to use space, we would want to know about it anyway. Because then we would want to make sure that the appropriate asks go out so that from a compliance perspective, we are still in line. Because as Elena pointed out, during campaign season, if we invite, we must invite all. So I know Chris tried to send a message out some time ago and it was not well received, even though it was very clear that it was about your position as an employee, regardless of what hat you wear. So we're trying to find the best way to do that so that everybody feels like we can make these asks and engage our elected and otherwise the appointed officials. We just want to look like a cohesive group when we do some of that. And some of these folks are going to come to one campus and we're going to be like, no, you need to be at these other two campuses and we need to have follow-ups because they don't have enough time in the day for whatever fill in the blank what that is. So we are 100% open to comments because we want this to be smooth when we do move it through. I know it is going to raise some eyebrows for some folks because we are not trying to impede anyone's First Amendment rights. We just want to be clear as employees where we do and how we protect this nonprofit institution that provides education to thousands and thousands of people and not get hit by a tiny rule that may or may not be important because somebody felt like they were slighted. So, questions, comments, feedback on specifically the civic engagement stuff or any concerns of where we should hand things back to the campuses, if not, and then guiding and government relations would obviously be a big piece in this. So, Lachey's not here, but is involved with the writing and all of the engagement relative to. So.
Yeah, I think still, even when you look at the 90 days, you're talking about the fall semester essentially because no one's here in the summer. So if you're
Yes.
going to give some guidance that needs to go out in spring, because even if a faculty member wants to invite a candidate to a classroom, you're saying if it's within 90 days.
No. The 90-day rule is applicable to the election period. And the 90-day is when the filing period is. So if there was an election happening right now and Takano and Jose were running against each other, which would not happen, but that's a fun one. And they were both running, both of them would need to be invited. If Takano got an invite and Jose never got an invite, we could have an issue. If Takano got an invite Ho and came and Jose got an invite and did not come, we're good. And that could be the day before the election. That's not a the 90 days their filing window.
Okay, so and again for clarification, is the invite, are there specific requirements? Like, is it an institutional invite? You're saying anyone who works or attends the school makes it an institutional invite. So I'm just asking, like, student
Yes,
government versus
that's
a
ex
faculty member versus
yes.
the college president. They're
You are
all
a
the same.
You are 100% correct in the eyes of the, I believe, and I will verify it with Keith. But if we, institution, faculty member to their classroom or to a larger audience, if we give mic time, we have to give mic time to everybody. Right?
Okay.
If Jimmy Kimmel invites candidate X, then he's got to extend to the other ones. And if he doesn't, maybe he'll pay a fine. But the extension has to be there. We don't give what is it? It's basically free publicity.
And then finally, whose responsibility is that? So again, just say I'm a faculty member and I want Mark Takano to come. Do I, as the faculty member, have to invite others, or do I tell like the college president we're inviting a candidate so that the college, like, whose responsibility is for extending the invitation to everybody? Because I didn't want everybody to come. So
This is why it gets sticky. This is why government relations gets pulled in. So anytime an elected is being invited, regardless if it's campaign season or not, we would like to be notified. If it's
okay.
during campaign season, that's where there's some potential rules that could become institutional, and the regular public can't differentiate you, VP Christie Woods,
Right.
from that's where it becomes the nuance. But the government relations office, in theory, is responsible to help and support all of these pieces. Now, you all know that all of these faculty members, if all of the political science faculty, just the political science faculty members, were to make invites, that would be an issue. Having said that, in theory, all the political science faculty know that during campaign season, they should extend to anybody. Now, if it's not for politics, if it's not for campaigning, you don't have to invite everybody. If they are coming to inform how a bill runs through Congress, that's informational. If they are coming to campaign, that is where the additional invite has to go out. And
Okay.
that's where the nuance comes in, Christy, to your point. And that's why we would like government relations to be informed so that we can help and guide as appropriate. If they're just coming to have a conversation with the class to educate new kids on voting, cool. As long as it's not about their campaign activity.
Okay. And so then the
I would.
message would be just pretty much always contact government relations, not for approval, but to but for.
Support.
Okay, thank
We're here
you.
to support. Chris, you were going to say something.
I was just going to say, the closer you get to an election or once candidates have been declared and stuff like that, then even discussions about civic responsibility or voting rights or anything like that can be construed as a political activity. So that's why we need to know, because it is a
So,
nuanced thing and legal
yeah.
could get involved, right? If we
So
don't.
that's why we're trying to manage risk a little bit differently, albeit low. We still want to be thoughtful. Like there's little things like you have to have the Constitution up because federal government requires that. There's little things that you have to check boxes on doing. And so that's one of them. So we will continue to work on some language. And we'll take it through the Civic Engagement Committee. I don't know timing wise because this group's really only meeting once per primary semester. If we will bring it back to this committee, my guess is we probably will in the spring, and then it'll go to DSPC. So we're still fleshing out language, and I anticipate this group will see it in some form or fashion before it goes to DSPC. But I am hoping before the end of the current academic year that we'll have something. In the interim, though, to the point Tracy was talking about from the Civic Engagement Committee, those conversations, engaging government relations and having the conversations at the colleges, those are already happening for the upcoming election cycle. Any other questions, comments on civic engagement? Okay. And there is some language change, but again, that in the civic engagement charge, but we're working, Tracy, Chris, and I are working. We'll take it back to that committee, and you all will get an update after it goes back to that committee. Chris, I don't want to talk anymore. Do you want to talk about DMCC? Oh,
Sure.
he hesitated. Okay, like couple minutes.
Well, I was getting ready to talk about the changes to the partnership committee charge. But I'll go ahead and talk about DMCC. We met. We have approved now. And what we do in that committee, for the most part, is try to set guidelines that can be used across the district and at all the colleges. And so we have been working on things like emergency communications or crisis communications guidelines. And we do that for the entire district, but then each college also, if it's applicable, may have their own set of guidelines that go beyond or above and beyond what the district has already established, right? So, and we do the same thing with, we've just approved social media guidelines. And so those guidelines have now been approved and they're on the committee's website and in our documents area of the ERNSC or External Relations and Strategic Communications website. So you can see these different guidelines. We have the branding style guides, we have the writing style guide, we have a the acronym guide that's been approved now. We just finished approving the video standards and guidelines. And next, we'll be working on photography. We're working on the local creation guidelines, and we're also working on marketing guidelines. So those are all in process right now, and that's what we're meeting about the next time that we meet.
Any questions, comments? DMCC's been working for a while, so the continual progress, I'm appreciative. Good faculty engagement, student engagement, it's good, that committee. Any other questions there? Thank you, Chris. We'll come back to the other one. Facilities naming. Jeff, do you want to provide a brief update?
Sure. I guess since the last time this group met, there were three naming requests that moved through the committee and our foundation board, as well as the board of trustees. That one of them was for the naming of the new scoreboard for the football stadium at RCC. Another one that was a gift that came in. Another one was a gift that came in from San Manuel for the refurbishing of a school of nursing lab. And the third one was an honorary naming for a space at RCC honoring, I'm blanking on it was one, I'm sorry.
Oliver Thompson,
Oliver
Thomas.
Thompson, I'm sorry. Thank you, Rebecca. So that's a quick summary.
The other piece, so the namings went through, were all the BPs and APs for all of these, but facilities naming was a decent one, are going through and they're on board tonight for review. These have obviously gone to DSPC and everything. Most of the chapter four BP APs are, I would say, mostly grammatical or language change updates. Facilities naming had a decent amount of updates, but it was to make sure that the language affirmed locus of control at the colleges, right? Part of this came up with the CAC coming down at Norco and then a couple of other like trees and benches and things. And people were like, well, we've got facilities that are moving. What are the rules around these? You know, the Erie Library is going to be something different in the not too distant future. What happens to the naming that's attached there? So, one of the first places that will happen is we'll check records on gifting. And if there's no contract that goes along with that, a gift agreement with term or service, then it becomes at the all of them are at the approval of the board, regardless of if there's a contract. Those can still go back. So then it allows the control and approach as to what to do with the PAL building, right? When BE comes down at RCC, what do you do with the PAL name that's been on the building for a long, long time, right? What do you do with the Erie name that's currently on the library at Norco? Where do you put it? And that allows the colleges to decide, we want to do it as a plaque. Here's where we're going to do it. I don't know that that's the determination on either one of those, right? Because BE actually has that those classrooms are actually located in a physically different building. It wouldn't make sense to tear down what's there and then put up a plaque because the programs are not going to be in that space. So that allows it to stay at the colleges, and then it comes up through the process that's defined in the BPAP. This is the only committee that I've got that's formalized that way. And the other piece of that is it clarified language because facilities naming is inclusive of academic programs. And I went, I'm not, that's not where. So we made clear that the language in there is that academic program namings go through the Senate, and then it comes to back to and through the committee for processing, right? We're your administrative body. You all decide that the new program that you are putting in place is called math. I don't want to decide that. You guys decide that or fill in the blank. So that'll come, and it's more that language is more clarified now that it comes from the Senate back to the facilities naming committee and then on to board for processing. So those are the clarifying pieces. All of your facilities people are on the facilities naming committees from the colleges. So feedback was provided there. And it really is meant any language updates are meant so that the people who have to see the plaque, tree, bench, whatever it is, can manage the plaque, tree, bench, whatever it is. Questions, comments on facilities naming? Okay. That committee will meet for the most part as needed. And it did go almost 2 years with nothing really happening because there was nothing coming in. But then Jeff got hired and he's been busy. So hopefully he stays busy. And then that committee can keep meeting. Institutional partnerships. Hey, Deb, do you want to talk about that one?
Yes, ma'am. I'm not
Thanks.
sure what I want to say. There's a lot of partnership work going on. One of the challenges is that we don't always know what the left hand is doing when the right hand is doing stuff, and vice versa. I know we've had a lot of different conversations about what that might look like in terms of a solution. So we're always looking for ways to better connect with the various partners and make sure that our efforts are not duplicative, much like government relations, when folks are reaching out to regional businesses and we're also talking to them. It looks a little wonky when two or three different folks from the same institution, and RCCD is at the end of the day one institution, are approaching folks. So if people have ideas about how to do that better, always happy to hear what those might be.
So one of the things that we as an institution have not been doing, and is I think clear, more clear, clarified in the current proposed strategic plan, is deliverables relative to partnerships. So my office is going to be developing a list. I appreciate Renee for starting it of district-wide partnerships. There will be various tabs because I don't know what else to do it in besides Excel. But for example, before I think one of the goals was increase partnerships. And I'm like, okay, well, how many K-12s do we have? Like, you can't increase the number of partnerships that you have with the K-12s. You can enhance them. We can make them, bond them better. We can increase the engagement and activity, but we're not going to increase the number of partners we have. So Isak and I went back and forth on that a little bit. And I appreciate there are lots of regional partners, to Deb's point, that we need a little more strategy around. The other is when I first got here, it's not so much of a problem now, but the foundation was asked to be members in all of the chambers, which is absurd because we already have memberships through fill in the blank. And then part of that fill in the blank is who is paying the chamber memberships or whatever the organization is, right? Or some of those are sitting at the chancellor's office and he can pay for them. That's great. But then of the colleges, right? Like who's got Harupa Valley? Who's got Riverside? Who's got Corona? And for the most part, it's clear, But if we want to make sure that we have representation, if it's not coming from the college, great. What does that mean? And just because it's coming from the college, that doesn't mean somebody sitting in the district office can't go and represent the institution. And that became obvious when Lana was still here at the foundation, because she had Moreno Valley multiple. I think we had at one point five different chambers asking us for membership via the foundation, like that was a separate being. And I'm like, they are employees. They work. They report to me. Like, that doesn't make any sense. So we're working on building that. The CTE advisory boards are another, the members of those advisory boards, the president's advisory boards that have different names in different factions. Tracy's group, she's got outbound people. The foundation, like, we need to generally know where these people are because, good, bad, right, or wrong, it's the holiday season and we have to invite people to the holiday party. So it's as big as real meaningful stuff at your colleges and who might be able to be a new advisory person for your CTE board or who could round out something that is going to make a grant more impactful because they happen to be associated with this organization, to invites to a holiday party. So the breadth of partnerships is pretty large, and we don't have a holistic view anywhere of what those look like. And I think it will make calling on some folks in the community to ask for help on some things, including grants, as we the ebb and flow kind of levels out a little bit. But some of the stuff that we want the WIB to do from a Workforce Investment Board perspective on a regional basis, like being able to reach in and go, oh, but that person is attached to Norco College. And then we've got these people attached with the Carpenters. And then this person sits on the WIB. And then all of a sudden, we can make a larger state ask and have something meaningful happen. So I'm looking at it from a pulling all of the resources together, not taking it from anybody. So if there are questions, ideas, again, I'm just doing it. We're starting in Excel because we got to start it somewhere, and Blackmore didn't have a more an easier technological solution. So questions, comments on partnerships. Again, this is the newish committee that's only met this one time. Okay. All of these are the committees within Advancement Partnerships. There's a web page. All of the links takes you there. It tells you who the committee membership is. Renee does a really good job making sure all of that stuff is updated, at least for our committees. We can't update things that people don't send in. So if there are questions, comments, this is not the only time you'll be able to ask. Anybody who's on my team should be able to facilitate, and you can always reach out to me. Chris, do you want to talk about the language?
Yes.
Thank you.
So the challenge was to try to incorporate civic engagement or even more broadly than that, community engagement that we would have or that we would impact as a result of working with this committee. Because that is one of the subcommittees that that are within this group or within this full committee. And so I suggest a change to the first sentence. At first, I was thinking that we would insert just civic engagement, but as you get further into this committee charge, it really talks about the strategic plans and how those engage, and it didn't dovetail very easily. So I changed the first sentence to read. And I don't, you probably don't have this up on your computer. Maybe I can share the current committee charge. Hang on a second. So I would propose changing the first sentence to the Advancement and Partnership Committee, APC, supports the district through efforts that expand awareness of and advocacy for its colleges and engagement with the businesses, community organizations, and government institutions representing, and this we could choose representing the communities of the Inland Empire or the communities we serve. Can be a little more vague.
Thanks, Chris. Questions, comments, thoughts? This was a follow-up from last time.
I like
Let me see.
communities we serve.
Okay, thank you.
Me too.
Thanks,
I do.
Alice.
I do too, because sometimes our students may not be in the end of the empire. We may have programs that they don't have, and I'd rather be inclusive than exclusive.
Thanks, Alina. Okay, I'm hearing consensus. We'll go ahead and make that. Was there somebody else? Okay. We'll go ahead and make that change to the charge. I don't know if it has to be voted on by governance, but we will take it as an affirmative consensus from this group. So unless somebody has an opposition or a no. Okay, sweet. This group will not meet again until later in the spring. If there are now or later, if there are goals or activities, things that you want to see this group and or a subcommittee support and have a conversation on for an agenda item, please let us know. If there are things that you think that this committee or the subcommittees should be doing to better or differently support the colleges, please let us know. Because that's something that we can agendize through the subcommittee and then bring it back to and through. Like we're going to do with the task force, we're going to pull it out of our area and hand it to what we think is the more appropriate group. So, if there are any questions, comments, concerns on agenda things that we should be looking at, please let me know. Otherwise, I'll open it up for anything from the good of the group. Okay, if there's nothing, I'm going to ask Lori to stay for just a minute. Thank you all for your time. And you've got like 7 or 8 minutes back. Don't tell anyone.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye. Chris, can you stay
Thank
too,
you.
please?
Sure.
Deb's staying too.
Okay. Okay, Lori, say out loud because I
Hey,
couldn't read a
Rebecca, can
respond
you
fast
end the
enough.
recording real quick? Just so you guys can have your private call. I don't know if you can do it on your end or mine.